God is good all the time and all the time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 is where we're going to find our text. If you're able, let's stand together. If the Lord wills, tonight will be our last night in this book, this letter, and this series about the life of Peter. If you missed it, you can find most of the stuff online on the website or YouTube channel, all that good stuff. But more than that, I think it's good to go back and reread what we've studied. I think it's really good to read a book and then go back and study it verse by verse, then go back and read the book again, because God has so much rich truth that we can never cover in these times together. And it's vital that you spend time in the Word of God on your own.
Amen.
It's vital.
Right.
It's the bread of life.
Right.
And the Christian can't live. You cannot live the Christian life without the Word of God. So let's pray and we'll read together. Father, I thank you for the opportunity together in the middle of the week. I know I need it, and I'm sure that all of us do. Just a time to pull aside from work and school and just the things going on in our lives and our homes, and to gather with the saints, to sing your praises, to pray together, and to call on your holy name to help us and give us grace and healing and help in our time of need. God, we need you. Every hour, we need you. And I just thank you for this time of spending time in the Word together. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth, that you'll teach us tonight. Your Holy Spirit would give us understanding and open our eyes to see and know you more. Please help us to take all that we learned from your Word and live it every day by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray you'll help me now to preach, teach, as you'd have me to. For I am nothing without you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Last time we covered part of this section, and we're going to try to wrap it up tonight. I'll give you a quick review. Just to remind you to catch our context, and then we'll wrap it up. These are final admonitions from Peter. I reminded you last time that he knows the end of his life is near, and he is trying to encourage these people to be faithful. And I just want to remind you that life and death are in the power of God.
Amen.
They're in the hands of him, and we all are alive today because in him we live and move and have our being. By him all things consist. He holds all things together by the word of his power. And you and I are here tonight, or you're watching online right now, because God put you here.
Amen.
And he's in control of that.
Amen.
I also know that he brought me into this world, and one day he's gonna take me out of this world, or he's gonna come and get me and take me out of this world, one way or another. But whether I live, I am the Lord's, or I die, I am the Lord's. And I love that Peter had this eternal focus. Like, as long as I'm here, I'm going to do everything I can for Jesus. And I know I'm going to die. And I promise you, he wasn't looking forward to his death. Jesus told him that they would stretch out his hands.
Amen.
See, the Lord let him know he was going to be crucified. He would be tied up and carried away to be crucified, and Peter knew that. For years, he knew that's the way he was going to leave. And I promise you, nobody would want to be crucified. It's the most excruciating kind of torture that the Romans had come up with, and yet he was able to even in the face of that, he was able to serve Jesus to the last and encourage others to do the same. Amen. What a great testimony. Man, Peter, I know we tease him a lot, we make fun of him a lot, how rash he was and all those things, and how he always spoke without thinking, and he was just a kind of a gung-ho guy, right? He'd charge in, run headfirst into a door, and then be like, wow, what happened? But I'm going to tell you, God used him.
Amen.
Because when he met Jesus and he understood who he was, his response was always good, wasn't it?
Amen.
He fell on his knees and said, depart from me.
Amen.
I'm a sinful man.
Amen.
Lord, save me.
Amen.
He went out and wept bitterly when he denied the Lord. I'm just telling you that even though he messed up a lot, he always responded well, and you and I mess up a lot. But we can learn a lot from Peter on how we can respond well, and God can bless and use us in spite of us. So last time we saw this from this passage, that we ought to be the sort of people who live holy lives in godliness. He talked about our conversation, our godliness. We need to be godly and live holy. Because everything around us is going to be burned up, don't be enamored with the things around you. It's all going to be gone.
Amen.
So be holy and be godly and live a holy life. Next, we saw that we ought to be looking for and hastening the coming day of God. And I don't know how it is for you, but I think that when people in Hollywood read the Bible, they don't believe it, but they read it sometimes, and they latch on to stuff like this. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Everything's going to be burned up. Everything's going to be dissolved. And I know that a lot of people in the world today, when they think about the end time events, it's terrifying to them. It's right, it's Armageddon, it's the apocalypse, it's the end of all things. And I'm going to tell you, for you and I who are in Christ, it's not a day to be terrorized by, it's a day to long for.
Amen.
So we're looking for that day. And we understand that for those who are not in Christ, it's going to be a terrible day. And I pray that they'll come to faith in Jesus before that day.
Amen.
But for us, we look for that day, we long for that day, we're looking forward to meeting Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody asked about the song Homesick for Heaven. Have any of you guys heard that lately? It was on the radio on the way down here tonight.
Is it a man singing it?
It is a man singing
it.
What's his name?
Phil.
Thank you, Phil Wickham. Homesick for Heaven. If you haven't heard it on the radio, you ought to listen to it. Man, it gets me. I've never been there, but I'm homesick for it.
Amen.
Now, a lot of you are like, amen, I understand that. But a lot of people in the world would be like, what do you mean, homesick for heaven? How can you be homesick for somewhere you've never been? Well, see, my Savior's there.
Amen.
My Father's there.
Amen.
Not to mention all my family who have gone on, but I'm my Savior is there. That's home.
Amen.
Where he is where my life is. And so we look for that day. We long for that day. And we are ready. So we ought to be eagerly anticipating Christ's return. Next, we ought to be diligent to be found in peace, spotless, and blameless when he comes. Let me say it like this. We need to be diligent in our righteous relationship with God.
Amen.
Being at peace, found in peace, spotless, and blameless. At peace, spotless, and blameless. That all has to do with your relationship with God. I don't have peace with God because of me. I have peace with God because of Jesus. I'm not blameless because of me. I'm blameless because of Jesus. I'm not spotless because of me. I'm spotless because of Jesus. And so I want to be diligent to be, when he says be found of him in that way, it means that when he shows up, I'm living that. That's my lived experience, that I'm actually living like I've been saved.
Amen.
So let me ask you this. Do you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, your Savior, tonight?
Amen.
Like right now, you have peace with God. Okay, and what he's saying is then when Jesus comes, live like you're at peace with God. Don't be living like you're an enemy, like you used to be. And then when he says that you want to be found without spot, that means to be without blemish.
Amen.
That means that he has cleansed you and he has made you blameless. Let me ask you this tonight. Has Jesus taken away all your sin?
Amen.
I mean, have you been made clean, washed white by the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.
And if that's true, what he's saying is when Jesus comes, let him find you living as though Jesus had delivered you from all your sins. And to be blameless means to be without rebuke. It means that when people make accusation against you, there's nothing that sticks. They don't have any handles to really grab a hold of. It's if they make accusation against you as a believer, it's not going to stick. Amen. Do you think people in the world today make accusation against Christians?
Amen.
Yeah, Amen. The world hated Jesus. The world's going to hate you, and they're going to make accusation. But when you live as though you've been made blameless like Jesus, then it doesn't stick. And they'll be ashamed.
Amen.
You know what the hope of that is? That scoffer or that mocker will have a change of heart, just like the thief on the cross.
Amen.
You guys remember that, right?
Amen.
Jesus was crucified. There were two thieves, murderers, actually, crucified on either side of him. And in the beginning, if you'll pay attention to the accounts, both of them cast the same in their teeth when they reviled and mocked
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
But then somewhere along the way, one of them had a change of heart, and he changed. And then he's telling the other guy, listen, this man's done nothing amiss. We deserve what we're getting. He doesn't deserve this. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said what? Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What happened? Well, being around Jesus changed him. And you know, that's our hope. That we live so Christ-like that people, even if they start with mocking, even if they start as a, I don't know, an atheist, an unbeliever, an agnostic, whatever it is, they are somebody who scorns you and scorns the Bible and scorns Jesus, but just because the Christ-likeness in you, it changes them.
Amen.
It changes them. We talked about that Sunday afternoon, the character of an ambassador. We're supposed to be different because of the gospel. And then last we talked about this. We ought to account the long-suffering of our Lord as salvation. I mentioned this a moment ago, but Jesus is coming, and it's not going to be a good day for the lost. But we need to understand, we need to trust his timing.
Amen.
Okay, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Let me say it again, because repetition is the key to learning, right?
Amen.
Repetition is the key to learning. You ever heard somebody say, or maybe you've said, if the Lord tarries? We're talking about his return. If the Lord tarries. What do we mean? Well, we mean like if he doesn't come back real soon, like if he waits a while longer before he comes back. But for me, when somebody says that you tarry, that means you're waiting longer than you intended to. But we know that's not the truth, right? Jesus is going to come back exactly when he intends to. I promise you, he won't be early and he won't be late. He'll be exactly on time. But we can trust his timing, right? And what we do is we account that as salvation, because what's happening, the longer it is that we have this time, the longer he has us,
Amen.
That he has his people to go and preach the gospel to reach the lost so that they can hear and believe and call on the name of the Lord and be saved.
Amen.
So we ought to account his long suffering as salvation. All right, we're going to come down to number five, new material here. Number five. Because we know these things beforehand, we ought to beware and guard against the error of the wicked and the instability that they cause. Okay? We ought to beware. We ought to be on guard. Now, I want you to look back at verse 16, and he's talking about the writings of Paul. And he says, Paul also, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. Okay? So what's he saying? First of all, he's just told us that the writings of Paul are scripture. That's huge. For Peter the apostle to just let us know what Paul is writing to the churches, that is scripture. Okay? And then he's telling us that those people take all the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, and the scriptures that Paul is writing, the scriptures that I'm writing right now, and they twist them.
Amen.
And people like to take the Bible and try to turn it into something that fits what they want to live.
Amen.
Is that true?
Amen.
Man, I don't know if you've ever listened to anybody do that, but it's pretty popular right now. On TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and all the places for these people who are unbelievers to try to take a verse out of the Bible and tell you what it means. And it would be laughable if it wasn't so heartbreaking.
Amen.
These people don't know how to handle the scriptures because they don't know.
Right.
Let me give you a couple of truths. Number one, these things are spiritually discerned.
Amen.
The Bible's clear. Somebody who doesn't know Jesus can't understand the scriptures.
Right.
But even beyond that, it's awful to see them take what it says and then try to turn it upside down.
Amen.
And try to make it say exactly the opposite.
Amen.
Or here's my favorite. Some of them were trying to tell us that abortion's okay. It's okay to kill babies in the womb because of what Exodus 21 says. And they read one verse and they say, aha. Of course, they misinterpret, misapply, and miss everything in that verse. But then they skip the next verse that says exactly the opposite of their conclusions.
Amen.
And they do it all the time.
Right.
They're going to tell you it's okay to murder babies in the womb. They're going to tell you that lesbian and homosexual relationships are okay. They're going to tell you that transgenderism is okay. They're going to take the Bible and try to prove these things to be true when it's all a lie.
Right. Amen.
And it's not just cultural issues of the day, friends. It's our very salvation.
Amen.
They'll try to tell you that you can fall from grace. Well, then the Bible says you can fall from grace. You know where it says that? It says that if you're justified by the works of the law, then you're fallen from grace. Do you know how many people, there's what, 8 billion people on the planet now, and there have been billions upon billions who have lived on this planet since God created it. Do you know how many out of all those billions have been justified by the law? No, not one.
Amen.
Not a single one. You say, ah, what about Jesus? Now, Jesus wasn't justified by the law. He didn't need to be. He was perfect, sinless. He did keep the law, but it doesn't justify him. It's not like he messed up and then he kept the law so he got better. He earned a right standing with God because he fixed what was wrong. No, Jesus was absolutely perfect from the beginning.
Amen.
So what's the point? My point is that people will take the word of God and they'll twist it. And they'll tell you can fall from grace when the Bible is clear. You can't fall from grace.
Amen.
If it's something that you do, then it's not grace.
Right.
I'm saved tonight.
Amen.
You know why? Because Jesus saved me.
Amen. Praise God.
And anybody else who's ever been saved, it's only by faith.
Amen.
So we need to stay on guard. Let me give you a few scriptures here because I think this is critical. We have to stay on guard. Beware. And guard against the error of the wicked. So notice what happens when they twist the scriptures. They do this in order to justify their lifestyle. They do this in order to justify their sin. They do this in order to not have to be accountable to God. But they do this unto their own destruction.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know. I should have got you some statistics, but I'm gonna go out on a limb and be confident here. I believe that men are far more likely to kill themselves on accident because they don't pay attention to warning signs than women are.
Amen.
Is that a fair assumption?
Amen.
I'm not just okay.
Amen.
The safety industry in the world today is a huge multi-billion dollar industry today because men are stupid.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, men are dumb. It doesn't matter how many signs you put on that box that says danger, high voltage, don't touch, stay away. But some knucklehead will open that box up and
Amen.
Stick a screwdriver anywhere in there.
Right?
Right? I know, I've seen it
Amen.
From a distance because when they do that, I step back.
Amen.
I don't want anybody grabbing me when they get into that. I'm just telling you that there are warning signs and people think, well, that's
Amen.
Just, listen, I don't need that. That's stupid. I don't need that warning. And they think it doesn't apply. And what does it do? It leads to their own destruction.
Amen.
And the same thing happens with scripture. When you ignore the word of God, twist the word of God, try to turn the word of God upside down.
Amen.
It's to your own destruction. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, find verse 11. And I want to catch some context here. By the way, if you've never heard these verses here at Calvary yet, and you highlight or underline in your Bible, you ought to highlight or underline these things in your Bible. These are absolute key verses to how this thing called the church is supposed to work. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, this is a side note, but I just want you to get it. God has always established men to lead, but the men are supposed to lead in the church to bring the church to maturity so that the church can do the work of the ministry, so that the church can build itself up in love. And I'm going to tell you, the American church has got this all messed up. What the American church wants to do is hire a man to take care of everything, to do all the work, and it's all on him. And it's not the way that Jesus taught it. He does raise up men to lead, but he leads them so that the church can build itself up. I don't want a pastor-built church. You know what happens when a pastor builds a church? Well, they don't last forever. God will call them somewhere else, or he'll call them home, and then what happens to the church that the pastor built? Listen, I want Jesus to build his church through his people and for it to multiply and perpetuate, that we all do the work of the ministry. Okay. See, that was for free. You're blessed. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And God's design is that we would all do the work of the ministry, we would all be growing and maturing, and that none of us would be carried away by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And all of us, because we speak the truth in love, we're growing up in Christ. And as each one of us grows in Christ, we're connected together, we're joined together, we grow together, and we build each other up. Amen. That's what he wants to do. I want to tell you this, there's strength when we're together in the truth. But when one person gets out on their own, then they are an easy target for the deceivers. Amen. Stay close. Be faithful. Be connected. Stay in close relationship with one another in the church so that we can gather together and grow together in the truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. Paul says, I sent Timothy, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation as it came to pass, and ye know. We don't want to be moved by afflictions. We want to be established. We want to be established in the truth and not moved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. So I want to tell you, God's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. And he's instructed us in these things so that we can be comforted, we can be established, we can be strengthened, and we're not going to be led astray because we're standing fast in the word of truth. And it can't be enough that Pastor Isaac said it. You have to get the truth in your own heart by the work of the Spirit. You have to. We want to be established. We want to guard against the error of the wicked. We don't want to let them twist the word of God, and we don't want to fall from our own steadfastness. Let me say this before we get too far away from it. Back in our text in 2 Peter 3:17, he said, "Beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away of the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." I know there's somebody out there that reads that and thinks they're going to lose their salvation. Does it say you're going to fall from salvation? Does it mean you're going to lose your salvation? No, it says you're going to fall from your own steadfastness. What does that mean? It means that you were steadfast. You were fixed. You were firm. You were strong in your faith. You were standing on the truth. But then you listened to the lies and you fell from that truth. It doesn't mean you lost your salvation. It means that you're not staying steadfast in the truth. And I'm telling you, I'm trying to point to these places in Ephesians and Thessalonians so you can see that we have been called and God's given us everything we need so we can stay strong and stay steadfast. Romans 16:25, one more. Romans 16:25. "Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Man, guys, God's given us his everlasting word, and he is able to establish you so that you won't fall. So that's number five. We ought to beware and guard against the error of the wicked. And we guard against that and instability through being settled in the word of God. Amen. Got to get it in your hearts and minds and be set on it. Stay on guard. Number six, we ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you guys are familiar with that verse before tonight? Amen. A few of you. And I love this verse. Verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and ever. Amen." We want to grow. The Bible uses a couple of analogies for us. Jesus gives the parable of the sower, right? The seed's the word of God and the soil is your heart. And some of that grows and bears much fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, right? And don't you want to be the one who starts with one seed and grows 100? Amen. It's what I want to be. Amen. It's what you ought to want to be. Amen. He gives us that idea, but plants that don't grow, they're not going to bear fruit. They can't stagnate. They can't get stuck. They have to grow. So when it's stony ground, the roots don't dig deep, and so they get burned up. In the thorny ground, they get choked out by the cares of this world and they don't bear fruit. But no, we want to have our hearts plowed by the Spirit of God, good soil to receive the Word of God so that it grows and bears fruit. He also gives us the analogy of the baby. Peter used that one, right? "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." God wants us to grow. Man, we know that, right? Babies are born. That's one of the first things they do. They take them, those little wrinkly, nasty-looking things, and they put them on the scale and see how much they weigh. Amen? Amen? And there's always a time early on when those babies are first born, they always lose a little bit of weight. But after a few days, they start gaining weight. And every time you go back to the doctor, you know what they do? They take that screaming baby and they put it on a scale to see how much baby weighs. Why? Because if the baby's not growing, it tells you something isn't right. Amen. Amen. And a Christian ought to grow. Amen. And if we claim the name of Christ and we're not growing, something is wrong. Amen. And much like babies, some of us never stop growing. Just in different directions. Amen? Amen. No, we want to continue to grow spiritually. We want to continue to be exercised in his grace. We want to grow. And we grow, first of all, in grace. I think this is awesome. The Bible tells us that he gives us grace upon grace. You know, he's got, his grace is sufficient for every trial. But just get this. How do I grow in grace? Well, His grace is the same. His grace is infinite. But I grow in it because I realize more of it. I become aware more of it. And I appropriate it more. What does that mean? Sometimes you guys are living in anxiety and fear and all this worry and chaos. And all the time, God's got grace for that.
Amen.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to live that way. You can appropriate the grace that's right there because He has enough for you today. Nah, I'm going to go ahead and borrow some trouble from tomorrow. I need some of tomorrow's evil, right? I'm going to worry about that today. No, take no thought. Don't be worried about tomorrow.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient.
Right.
And every day He gives us all the grace we need. And I want to grow in that grace. I'm going to appropriate that grace. I want to live in that grace.
Amen.
And then in knowledge, grow in knowledge. Now, as is often the case, this study just led to another study, and I'm not going to start it tonight, but I'm going to pray about when to bring this to you, but just growing in knowledge got me looking at this, and you could go back and read 2 Peter. He talks about knowledge, 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 and in my life growing up in the church, I always thought knowledge is kind of a good thing, but we're supposed to be by faith. Like, it's what we believe. It's faith. It's all faith, faith, faith. But man, the Bible has so much to say about what we know. And what we know is so many different ways that we would understand what it means to know. But this word know means an experiential knowledge or a relational knowledge.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Why is that important? Because it's one thing to know about somebody. It's another thing entirely to know somebody. Is that, you guys track with that?
Amen.
Like, I mean, most of you here know about George Washington, but not even Brother Tom's old enough to have known him. There were a lot of people. My grandpa, Cody Bennett, was a school teacher at Vian for a long time, and there were a lot of people in the community that knew my grandpa. Like, they knew him, knew about him, maybe said hi to him. Hello, Mr. Bennett. But I knew him.
Amen.
He was my grandpa.
Amen.
I sat in his lap, smelled his pipe smoke. Right?
Amen.
When I got stung by a caterpillar, it was his tobacco he put on my sting. I mean, you know somebody if they put their tobacco
Amen.
On you, right?
Amen.
I knew him. I knew the sound of his voice. I knew the way his coat smelled. I knew him. And what I'm trying to tell you is when he says grow in the knowledge, he's not telling you to get some academic knowledge about Jesus. He's telling you that you can know him.
Amen.
You can crawl up in his lap.
Right.
And you can know his voice.
Amen.
And you can follow him.
Amen.
He wants you to grow in that.
Guys,
there's too many Christians in our world today, especially here in the United States, that think that once you repeat a prayer, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, that's it. Like, you've arrived. That's it. We're going to need you to get baptized and give. You know, we're going to need you to give your tithes so we can keep this machine going. But that's it. Like, you're there. Just get saved, baptized, and show up. That's it. And I'm here to tell you that that is just the beginning.
Amen.
He wants you to keep growing in knowledge, knowing him more and more until you see him face to face. Let's stand together. And I'm going to give you number 7. It's the last one in the whole letter. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Jude says this, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen." Number 7, we ought to give him glory now. And we will give him glory forever. Amen. Father, thank you for time to gather around your word. I pray you bless your word in spite of me. I pray that if anyone hearing this message has never truly been born again, that they will trust in Jesus, the one and only Savior, the one who died for their sins on the cross, was buried and rose again the third day, who conquered death and offers forgiveness of sin and eternal life to all who believe. God, help us to believe. Please bring repentance and faith to the lost, and help all of us who are saved to continue living in that forgiveness, living in the life that you've given us. I pray you'll help us to take to heart these final admonitions that Peter gave, that we'll learn of them, that we'll take them into our hearts, and that from now until we see you face to face, we will continually grow in your grace and knowledge. Forgive our sin. Be with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Does anybody have any last words before we go?